Dave and Darren. It's Planet 93.9's morning show. Dave and Darren, and they're here now to give us a review of what they got done on that morning show. Please welcome Dave and Darren.
It's a review.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a song and dance review.
It's a much, I think you'll find, easier to digest for sure way to do the show. In fact, you might call it even a digest of what we got done on our show this morning.
The listener's digest.
I like what you're doing there. Dave and Darren's listener's digest. That would have been a better name for this show.
Not bad.
It's too late to change now, though. Right?
I think we're that or In Search of Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that that was...
And then as soon as we mentioned, now there's no update on Bigfoot. Okay, now on with the top five things.
It's brought to us by Nature's Treatment of Illinois,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, two locations, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. Both locations now open 7 days a week. The recreational waiting lists are available, and you can reserve your time if you'd like to. Go to the website. It's ntillinois.com.
Let's get into number one.
Number one.
Number one.
Florida man here. Oh, boy.
Florida.
I think the headline says it best. Florida man used flamethrower to settle parking dispute. Andre Abrams of Gainesville, Florida, looking now at three felony counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. The deadly weapon, again, a flamethrower. He was angry over his neighbor's parking habits.
Mm.
So he sprayed fire from a commercial flamethrower toward a car that had three teenagers inside.
It's what you call an attention getter.
How about some fire, Scarecrow? Facing three counts of felony aggravated assaults, Andre Abrams, he's 57 years old.
That's a fun age.
Aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without intending to kill. Posted a $15,000 bond and is awaiting decision whether prosecutors will formally file criminal charges. How do you not file criminal charges to somebody that's going after teenagers with a flamethrower? The mother of one of the teens says that this guy frequently sprayed the flamethrower to scare off guests at her home. Ashley Gainey says that her daughter, Natalia Baker, fled the car with her friends as Abrams continued to spray flames towards them. She says when he shoots it, it lights the whole road up. Quote, it's like daylight outside. He'll do it in the middle of the night. In the arrest report here...
And the authorities there are just okay with that,
well,
huh?
It's Florida.
You mean it's America.
In the arrest report, the police identify the weapon as an XM42 light flamethrower, which shoots flames up to 20 feet.
And that's something a person can have.
Yeah, you can buy it for $900 online. Company saying here in a promotional video, quote, you've probably wondered if you can own a flamethrower. And guess what? You can. No permits or licenses needed. They are legal to buy and own in every state except Maryland and California. The company that sells these flamethrowers also sells t-shirts that identify the wearer as a, quote, little terrorist, end quote. It does require you, the company that sells the flamethrowers, does require you to accept a liability waiver and affirm that you were never convicted of a felony, domestic abuse, or arson. Here, sign this that says you're not a felon, a domestic abuser, or arsonist.
Yeah, sure.
This guy was twice convicted, the flamethrower guy here, twice convicted of misdemeanor domestic battery after arrests in 02 and 04. Have police seized the flamethrower? That's not clear at this time. There are no federal laws in the United States of America regarding the sale of flamethrowers because flamethrowers are not considered firearms. It's got fire in the name.
Uh-huh.
Come on. The accused here acknowledges that the incident stemmed from a long-running dispute over parking with that neighboring family. Police say that he admitted shooting the flamethrower toward the vehicle, but he denied that he was targeting the teenagers. He says, quote, "This family, how could I say this? They're the worst thing that could ever happen to a neighborhood. They've had issues with other residents, and it needs to be," his words now, "brought to light."
I don't see how you can bust me for terrorism if I admit I'm a terrorist.
Well, I got this T-shirt, too.
Uh-huh, it says right here.
Little terrorists.
Right out here in the open.
Mm-hmm. So the guy who's shooting a flamethrower at teenagers is telling the press down there, "This family's the worst thing that could ever happen to a neighborhood." I would say a crazy guy with a flamethrower is the worst thing that could happen to a neighborhood.
Well, both can be true.
Number two.
Got a couple of people looking for advice, and I want to get your take on these. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
We'll start with this one. How do I convince my husband to stop asking me for Christmas presents that all cost $3,000? My husband and I are both high-earning six-figure careers. He still, however, makes a significant amount more than I do. Each year for Christmas, he goes very lavish with gifts for me, and he also expects similarly priced gifts in return, and I do not have the capacity to keep up with him, nor the desire, because I'd rather save the money or use it for experience instead of things.
Yeah, I gotcha.
For example, last year he spent over $20,000 on gifts just for me. Things like a diamond bracelet, high-end purses, shoes, coats, etc. And while these things are all things that I like, I did not ask for them. In return, he asked for things costing between $1,000 and $3,000 apiece. Musical equipment for his hobbies. I've told him in no uncertain terms that I can't keep up with his spending, and that his love for lavish Christmases has actually made the holiday I once loved unenjoyable, because I have to take a hard hit to my savings in order to keep up with his wish list.
Yeah.
Not to mention, he still expects me to purchase gifts for his family, parents, siblings, nieces, and nephews, while my family just does a secret Santa, so he only has to buy for one or two people on my side. It's ridiculous, and I'm not sure what to do anymore. I've stopped asking for anything for Christmas, but that doesn't help. I've told him to set realistic budgets, but at the end of the day, he ends up ignoring them anyway. It's very clear that his love language is giving and receiving gifts, which incidentally is also one of mine, but not to this extent. I don't want him to feel slighted on Christmas morning. I've even tried buying multiple lesser-priced items in the hopes that the quantity of gifts would outweigh the quality that I've spent, or the quantity I've spent. It's to the point now where
just
I wish...
Just try to wear him out, huh?
It's the point now where I said, I wish we could just skip Christmas.
Yeah.
He has said no to this. Or that he should just spend the money buying himself the things that he wants.
Yeah.
He also said no to this.
Okay.
I'm all out of ideas. Help.
Now, she's the woman, right?
Yeah.
Just don't do it.
Right.
Not happening. Let him ask for the presents. You're not getting them. What are you going to do?
Their answer is here, you should buy him what you can afford. You're both going to be unhappy with the outcome of this exchange regardless. But unless you can get on the same page, you also don't want to be broke.
Don't buy him anything.
Uh-huh.
You get nothing.
You need to start resetting his expectations, they say. Give him a gift that's in your budget and keep doing it for several years in a row.
Listen, that's not going to satisfy him. It's not so will nothing.
Right.
Get him nothing.
Nothing. And it's
there you go.
My gift to you this year is nothing.
Yeah, you were going to be disappointed with the little dinky things I bought you.
Well,
that aren't that dinky.
I was going to say, I think you or I would kill for the dinky things.
You know, they're not that dinky, but that's going to disappoint you. How about nothing?
Right.
You get nothing.
It's weird as an adult to have any expectations for Christmas presents, right? As an adult to have any expectations for a Christmas present that's messed up, right? This is what I want for Christmas. Do you?
I wouldn't mind some socks that could last more than 2 months without having holes in them.
Yeah? How about this? Am I a jerk for confronting my downstairs neighbor because she works from home? My husband and I live in an upstairs three-bedroom apartment, and the apartment below us is the same layout.
Uh-huh.
The house has been for sale for a while, and recently a woman bought it. It turns out she doesn't have any children, so I found it strange that she bought a 3-bedroom house. But I soon found out it's because she runs a craft business from home and needs 2 bedrooms to run it. The problem is, unfortunately, she's decided to use the maid bedroom, which below us is her main craft room.
Uh-huh. And there's a lot of noise?
At first it was fine as she hadn't fully moved in, but now it's driving me crazy. She's in that room almost all day, and I can hear her walking around and the faint noise of machines. I don't spend long in my bedroom during the day, but when I go in, it just about annoys me knowing that she's just there constantly. Like, why can't if she picked smaller bedrooms since she knows the kids are at school all day? She always stops using her embroidery and sewing machines by 7 p.m., but she's told me she can sit up until 10 o'clock some nights finishing off orders, and that just plays on my mind.
Even though you can't hear it?
I go to bed at 9 p.m. and I can't sleep for hours as I lie there listening for her every move.
What, even when it doesn't come?
Just knowing that she's down there awake and walking around drives me crazy.
Okay. All right.
And I find it so selfish that someone would buy an apartment and work from home. My husband says he can't hear a thing during the day and I need to calm down. He also doesn't
see... Well, yeah, but isn't he at work?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It says during the day, so maybe not.
Huh?
He says he doesn't see the big deal about her using the house as she pleases. It's her house. Yeah. We're living in it.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I finally went enough, and I went to her door, and I told her how I was feeling about everything and how I can hear the faint noise of her machines.
Can you, though?
She apologized and invited me to show me her setup. All of her machines are on some sort of anti-vibration padding to stop as much noise as possible.
Yeah.
So she claims the noise should be minimal and that you need to expect some noise from neighbors.
Yeah.
I told her that's not true. I don't make any noise. And that's when things took a turn.
For the worse.
And she said she can hear my kids running around and jumping off furniture all evening, but she'd never dream of complaining because that's just one of those things you share when you share a building with other people.
Uh-huh. People living.
I left before I said anything else I regretted and thought that was the end of it. But today my husband came home from working overnight and asked if I said anything to the woman downstairs because she was very cold with him when he said hello.
Uh-huh.
I told him what happened and now he says I'm a massive jerk. I've spoken to my friends, and they all think I've handled this wrong, and that I'm a jerk, but I don't see what else I could have done.
Yeah, I guess I'd have to hear whether, she's admitting to just waiting to hear something without even actually hearing something, right?
That's what it sounds like.
I mean, you're just fixating a little too much.
Just the idea that somebody's down there.
Just the fact that someone's down there drives me crazy. It's like, okay. You didn't need a lot of help.
Finally, Darren, there's this. How can I get my friend to stop calling me Eddie Spaghetti?
Boy, there's some really serious problems, aren't there?
The real gamut here.
Yeah. Hey there, Eddie Spaghetti.
My husband wants presents I can't afford. There's a woman living downstairs from us in a home that she owns.
Who barely makes any noise, but I know she's there.
Just knowing she's there drives me crazy.
Just knowing she's there drives me out of my mind.
How can I get my friend to stop calling me Eddie Spaghetti?
How good a friend is this? Are you sure it's a friend?
My first name is Eddie. I have a friend who constantly calls me Eddie Spaghetti. It bothers me to no end. Without offending him, how do I get him to knock it off?
Well, first I'd stop eating spaghetti. Let me ask you this. Do you have like a lot of spaghetti? Do you wear a lot of white shirts? And do you have a lot of like marinara sauce stains on those white shirts?
I don't see how that's germane to the situation.
Well, it is. Are you giving him a reason to call you Eddie Spaghetti other than just your name's Eddie? Or...
I mean, I have a lot of meatball-inspired couture, but other than that,
what do you eat for lunch? Spaghetti.
Every day I eat spaghetti.
What about dinner? Spaghetti.
What does that have to do with anything? It's because my name is Eddie, don't you see?
I'm trying to tell you, damn it. You might want to.
I'm Eddie, not Eddie Spaghetti.
You might want to cool it with the spaghetti.
I'm not a wet noodle.
I get it. It's delicious.
Miss Manners is asked, how do I get my friend to stop calling me Eddie Spaghetti?
Mm-hmm.
Miss Manners' answer is, smile wanly and assure him you've never heard that one before.
What?
Yeah, never heard that.
That's a good one. I never heard that one before. What? Try to, like, shame him? That he's not clever?
Someone here suggests you need to smile with an evil grin and tell him that you want to be called Eddie Machete. That's even better advice.
Yeah.
You know what they called me when I was in the hospital?
I'm going to get a machete.
I will say this. If somebody calls you a nickname and you don't care for the nickname, just accept the nickname. Once you act bothered by it, that's how the nickname sticks. If someone were to call me Eddie Spaghetti, I go, that's right, I'm Eddie Spaghetti.
Delicious.
And that's the end of it. Because then the fun is taken out of the nickname. The fact that you throw a little little marinara-sized fit every time your friend calls you Eddie Spaghetti. You know, I don't want to offend him, but I really would prefer you don't call me Eddie Spaghetti. That's the sort of thing you write to Miss Manners.
Yeah, if we all of a sudden just started calling you too many Daves.
Yeah, I just accept it, you see. I've learned this lesson the hard way, believe me. I got nicknames I still can't shake. But I've learned since then that you gotta just kind of
fudge
embrace
the whale.
Exactly. The most. Or wait, you're the most.
Mr. Elbows.
Am I Mr. Elbows?
It's hard to tell.
I mean, at this point.
Number three.
Of all the Christmas songs, there's none worse than 12 Days of Christmas, right? That's the worst. I mean, of like all the traditional, everybody knows Christmas songs. Clearly, there's songs like Christmas Shoes that are even worse. But as far as like the standards, 12 Days of Christmas, it doesn't end.
No, there's a lot to take in.
Right? 12 Days of Christmas, every year they figure out how much it costs to if you were to do the 12 Days of Christmas. I think they came up with this year, according to the United States Bureau of Labor Statistics, if you were to send somebody the 12 Days of Christmas like they do in the age-old holiday song, it would cost you $41,205. And they really wouldn't have anything that they wanted anyway. What am I doing with Maids of Milking? What is this doing?
What is this, a sweatshop?
The Lords are leaping. What am I supposed to? There's no practical use for any of this.
No,
nonsense.
There's not. I'm not paying anything. Okay, so they don't. What would that cost?
What's that?
A Lord of Leaping.
Well, they break it down. If you want me to really break it down for you. The most expensive item on the list is the 7 Swans of Swimming. That's $13,000 right there.
Swans go for that?
Yeah, apparently swans are exotic pets are coming in at a higher cost this year. 2 turtle doves up 50% this year. And the cost of the 6 geese a-laying is up by 57%.
No one's buying these things.
I know it.
How can you say that the cost is inflated when no one's buying these things
to begin with? This is the United States Bureau of Labor Statistics. This is something they do every year for fun, where they figure out if you were to actually do the 12 Days of Christmas, if you were someone's true love giving these presents to somebody, what would it cost you? And the answer is $41,205.
Pass.
Hard pass. The other thing about the 12 Days of Christmas that I could never wrap my head around is, like, today is December the 13th. So in my head, this would be the first day of Christmas. Like, shouldn't it end on Christmas? But that's not what the 12 Days of Christmas is. The 12 Days of Christmas actually starts on Christmas and goes until January 6th. Actually, it starts after Christmas. It goes December 26th until the 6th of January. That would be maddening if we did that.
You're saying the first day of Christmas is December 26th?
I don't make the rules. That's what it is.
Where does it say that in the song?
It's that, well, because the 12 Days of Christmas is based on something called 12 Tide, which is a festive Christian season celebrating the nativity of Christmas.
Up until what, the Epiphany?
I'm guessing that makes sense, January 6th, yeah? So it varies by your denomination, right? Like different Christian denominations, some start on the 26th, some start on the 25th, the 12 Days of Christmas. We can't even agree when the 12 Days of Christmas are. But the fact that Christmas is when the 12 Days of Christmas starts, and then it just keeps going and going and going, I don't know if I could put up with that. If it's January 6th and I got Lords of Leaping coming over the house, like, I've put all the decorations away. What are we doing here?
Like Jack Lord of Leaping?
Now that would be something else. Dano is in the house.
Book him, Dano. Get this guy out of my house.
A math professor has a slightly different take. Tried to figure out how many legs are in the 12 Days of Christmas. How many different legs are we talking about? Dr. Tom Crawford explaining the importance of the number of legs in the 12 Days of Christmas. He says to really get a grip with the math that's in the 12 Days of Christmas, you got to count the legs. So, for example, a partridge in a pear tree.
Two.
That's two legs. Two turtle doves. That's two legs for each turtle dove times two, right? So now you got four legs. Three French hens, right? Birds have two legs. And on and on and on. In fact,
is there anybody that doesn't have two legs? What do we have?
No, I guess they're all two-legged creatures, right? Yeah. Yeah, they all have two legs. Five gold rings don't have any legs. Rings don't have legs, so that's zero. So you just ignore those.
Yeah, but they're milking cows. That's more than two legs.
Yeah, but they don't say maids. Oh, yeah, well, they are a milking.
What are they milking?
Yeah, that's a good...
Michael Milken?
That's a great question. How do you figure that out? The maids of Milken, he puts that down as five legs.
Five legs?
I don't understand.
The maid has two legs and the cow's got four.
Let me walk you through this.
And this guy...
He says... Gift number six is another bird in the form of a goose, which adds further. Six times two equals 12 legs. And then he talks about... he talks about the other gifts here. Eight maids and milking. Two legs for each maid, plus four legs for each cow.
Yeah.
Or goat. They don't specify if they're milking goats or cows. Or it could be another farm animal that you milk. So that's eight times six, right? Two plus four is six. That's 48 legs total.
Yeah.
And then the final four gifts are all human beings. So he's crunched the numbers here. You got your total number is 808 legs.
Mm-hmm.
When you encompass the total of the 12 Days of Christmas, 808 legs are in it. So,
and this was his thesis, and it took him 20 minutes to do.
He's really proud of this.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've been working really hard, counting up all the legs, and I want to...
How long did that take you? 10 minutes. I'm a doctor.
I got an email reminding me that I was up for tenure, and I hadn't done anything. And
right.
Thought I kind of, oh, no. Kind of threw this together last minute. And I don't know.
I don't know.
Idiots on the radio are talking about it. So you tell me. You tell me if this is worthwhile.
Now they bought it.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Good for another 10 years.
The 12 Days of Christmas is a period in Christian theology that marks the span between the birth of Jesus and the coming of the three wise men. So yeah, I guess it starts on December 25th and runs through the Epiphany. You're absolutely correct. But some families chose to mark the 12-day period by observing the feast days of various saints and planning daily Christmas activities. And then things go back to business as usual on December the 25th. So there are some people that do it the way that I thought you're supposed to do it, where you start early and then the last day of Christmas is actual Christmas.
Didn't anyone have to go back to work back then?
Well, no. You're working in a, more often than not, you're working in a coal mine. So you got time to be singing about partridges and pear trees and whatnot. There are other lyrics, I guess, alternate versions. There are some that mention bears abating. Bears abating and ships a-sailing. Collie birds is an archaic term meaning blackbirds. Five golden rings could be, according to some people, not rings that you would wear on your finger, but rather a ring-necked pheasant. So that might be more birds. If we assume that it's more birds, then that changes the total of legs. Now what do we do?
You've just lost your doctorate.
Oh, man. I got to go back and recrunch the numbers.
Number four. Four.
Article on mental floss of Christmas songs that, for whatever reason, didn't take off. They have 11 Christmas songs that they say never really took off. And I take issue with a couple of their selections. I mean, obviously, it's a smart move to try and get a Christmas song, right? Mm-hmm. And the last one to really do it with any great success remains Mariah Carey. Has anything been added into the Christmas songbook since Mariah Carey?
Original song?
Yeah.
Nothing to that magnitude.
Right. Lady Gaga tried it a couple of years ago with something called Christmas Tree, featuring Space Cowboy. Let me give you a little taste of...
Of the Gaga?
Yeah, Lady Gaga and her tune, Christmas Tree. I can already tell you what's wrong with this song.
Mm.
This is a Christmas song. Now that's just headache fuel is all that is. They have the Killers with Don't Shoot Me Santa. Now, I don't think that's fair because the Killers put out a Christmas song each and every Christmas. Don't Shoot Me Santa might be their best. But the Killers have like a dozen different original Christmas songs.
I didn't know that.
You've never heard Don't Shoot Me Santa?
No.
Oh, you know what? I might have to pull that up.
Let's get a little closer to Christmas. Let's not get carried away.
How about Elton John's Ho, 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 Who'd Be a Turkey at Christmas?
Now, that one I don't know. I know his Step Into Christmas.
Right.
Is this new?
No, this is actually the B-side to Step Into Christmas.
Ah.
Sure sounds like Elton John. That. I like that it's just about getting drunk at Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Speaks to me.
Now they say Backdoor Santa by Clarence Carter is a song that never took off. Are you kidding me? Run DMC sampled it, and of course Bon Jovi and the Black Crowes have covered it. Backdoor Santa is like one of the all-time greats, and they're saying, well, it never really took off.
Like it should have.
But see, it's certain... Backdoor Santa is a holiday staple. I don't know if they play it on the Christmas stations, but
the Christmas Superstation?
They should. It's Christmas time in Hollis, Queens.
They call me Backdoor Santa. I make my runs about the break of day.
This is the best. What do you mean didn't take off?
They call
You start delivering presents right when the sun's coming up?
I make all the little girls happy while the boys are out to play.
No, he's,
looks to me like you're trying to get caught.
He's not making deliveries, Darren. He's just helping himself into their homes. And
that's breaking and entering.
No, these women are inviting him. How about Mr. Kenny Rogers with Kentucky Homemade Christmas? Does this do anything for you? From his first holiday album, Christmas, released 40 years ago.
Shut down the mine last summer.
Okay.
We're getting by on welfare.
What?
It's Christmas Eve, I'm walking home. Not a dollar to my name. Tonight is almost on me. A night I'm almost dreading. No store-bought gifts to open, but there'll be Christmas just the same.
Yeah, that sounds like a big bummer. That's what that sounds like.
Bummer Fest is what you should have called it.
I was reading somebody pointed this out, and I guess I never connected.
Was
the
that
dots,
pre but... or post Kenny Rogers Chicken?
Oh, that's pre 81, man. That's 40 years ago. Gambler.
Bet he had an idea though.
His greatest and best song, Gambler, where he's on a train and
bound for nowhere.
Right.
What? Who runs an operation like that?
Where's that train going? Nowhere. Great.
What is that?
How do I get on it? And he's there on the train, and there's a gambler who's some sort of, you know, genius card player.
Uh-huh.
And Kenny's like, tell me how to do this. How do I win? Give me some sort of secret code, some sort of secret advice to win at poker.
Mm-hmm.
And the gambler, for a taste of his whiskey, says, here's the secret, son. You got to know when to fold and know when to hold. And we treat this like it's like really good advice.
That's like
that's not good advice.
That's like buy low, sell high.
Right. If the song was like,
and who is asking to lick your whiskey glass? Can I stick my tongue in your whiskey glass? What?
If the advice was like, you know, pocket aces aren't as good as you think they are because statistically.
Yeah. If you start breaking it down as far as like some sort of saber metrics.
Right. Right. This hand, you know, a jack and a five in your hand, you may not feel like that's great, but actually statistically. You might want to hold on to that for at least, you know, post the flop. Although I don't know, you know, what the ante is, obviously.
Okay.
That would be good advice.
Yeah.
But instead, the gambler. And this is like the best advice
he can
give. Is the
gambler like...
Because the advice ends up killing the gambler before giving it out, right? He just dies as a result. No one to hold him.
On a train bound for nowhere?
That's right. Now, they're also including on this list Father Christmas by the Kinks.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's one of the best, maybe the best.
Yeah, as far as like a Christmas rock song.
Right. They also have Neil Diamond's Cherry, Cherry Christmas. Does this do anything for you?
I don't know this one.
Oh, come on.
I'm very Jewish.
Wish you a very merry cherry, cherry Christmas.
Okay, creepy.
And a holly, holy holiday, too.
Holly, holy, holy, holly, holly Christmas. Hey, oh, cherry, cherry Christmas. Yeah, warm, touching warm.
Underneath your tree, may there always be sounds of harmony, not a song sung blue.
Oh, it's like he's just taking all of his song titles. It's like somebody handed
mashup.
Him. Somebody handed him his own greatest hits. He's like, how about I make a Christmas record out of this?
Just a very merry cherry, cherry Christmas.
Turn on your heart light for Santa so he knows.
Jesus was also Jewish. Get it?
And if all of those who love you gather near, you'll have a very merry cherry, cherry holiday.
Jolly, holy, rock and rolly Christmas.
Rock and rolly?
This year.
Have a hot August night Christmas. Sweet Caroline, it's Christmas once again. You don't buy me flowers anymore for Christmas. Singing all my stupid songs again. Good God, Neil.
Come on.
Have a little...
Show a little self-respect.
Come on, Neil. Help yourself.
You're better than this.
Also on the list...
Jesus. Weightlessness.
Darkness. Jesus. Weightlessness, Jesus.
Christmas time is here again.
Your Beatles make the list.
Uh-huh.
Christmas time is here again. Christmas time is here again.
Put a lot of thought into that.
Never really released as a single, though. That was just a fan club
it
thing.
It wasn't officially released. No. It was a B-side to Free as a Bird in 1995 okay. when the anthology well. Came out. But yeah, you had to be in the fan club for that. So they weren't really planning on that being...
No, that wasn't for the radio. And okay. it never really was until...
So when you view it now. When you view it from the lens of they were just putting something together for their fans, it's pretty great. But when you view it as a Christmas song, it's pretty awful.
Well, it never really even was released to be played on radio stations.
You've heard those fan club singles, right? Which is them blabbering on about things.
Yeah.
And it just seems like, oh, we got to get something done here.
They'll fall for anything.
Give me more of Neil Diamond just reading his greatest hits.
When the snow drops on the treetops, it's a pretty amazing scene.
Well, yeah, if it's snowing inside, it's snowing on your Christmas tree. You don't have a roof.
It's pretty amazing we lost our roof for Christmas. Holly, holly, cherry, cherry, Caroline.
Santa, please bring us a roof for Christmas. What?
Cracklin' Rosie doesn't celebrate Christmas. Santa is a solitary man. Christmas happened on a September morn.
Wait a minute.
He's taking some liberties.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't really know the birthday.
Baby Jesus is forever in blue jeans.
Didn't even have denim then.
Neil.
Hear the choir. Light the fire.
Hot light.
Feels like pretty amazing grace, if you know what I mean.
What? What are you talking about? You weirdo. They asked me if I was celebrating Christmas. I said I am. I said for Christmas. Well.
You're going to get us killed, Santa.
Where the hell did the roof go for Christmas? Pretty Amazing Grace is another one of his songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he's just throwing song titles of his out there. Oh. Song sung blue and green and red for Christmas. Happy holidays from Neil Diamond, the Beatles, and Lady Gaga, everybody. God bless us everyone.
Still too soon.
Five.
Number five.
There's a trend now, a heartwarming trend where people kind of recognizing how hard it's been for people in the service industry are going out of their way this holiday season to leave large tips for their waiters and their waitresses and the staff. There's a story from Arkansas where they left a huge tip. This was a waitress who ended up getting fired because of the tip that she got.
Mm.
She and another server, this is at a place called Oven and Tap in Bentonville, Arkansas. Bentonville, Arkansas, that's where Walmart has their headquarters, right?
That sounds right.
Surprising a server with an unexpectedly large tip is a heartwarming trend, but this waitress got an unpleasant surprise after the pleasant surprise by getting canned. She and another server had just been given a $4,400 tip.
Oh, boy. In real money?
Yeah. Ryan Brandt and a coworker waited on this party with 40 customers. The customers were affiliated with a local real estate company down there, right? Called Whitley. So they must have had like a private party, maybe a Christmas mm-hmm. party or something.
Right.
Each member of this 40-customer party left a $100 tip. There were 44 people, I guess. So each one of them left a $100 tip.
Okay.
$2,200 per each. Server. Exactly. That's what their intent was. In fact, the owner of the real estate company called the restaurant in advance to check on the tip policy. Make sure everything was cool if they left a tip that big.
Uh-huh.
But they told her, you got to actually turn all that money over to the shift manager, and we'll let you keep 20% of the $2,200 each of you is getting.
And they said no?
Well, that had never happened before, because this Ryan Brandt, she'd worked there at Oven and Tap for more than 3 years and had never once pooled tips with other staff before.
So I'll keep the money and you go right ahead and fire me? Is that the idea?
Brandt said she was not able to keep all of the money that was earmarked for her. In fact, she went to the owner of the real estate agency and said, yeah, they're not letting me keep the tip that you gave. So he goes to the restaurant and says, I need that tip to be refunded.
Yeah.
And I'll just pay her outside of work. And that is why they fired her. He's like, if you're going to go ahead and do that, give me the tip back. I will pay her outside of the restaurant.
Well, you don't need to even tell him that.
Well,
just give me my tip back.
Yeah. The Oven and Tap saying here in a statement that while they were welcome to direct tips any way they chose, tip pooling is a common practice. Quote, we recognize and regret that a recent incident at our restaurant could have been handled differently by reminding our team how we would be splitting any tips prior to the event. So yeah, now they're kicking off an online fundraiser for the server who says her pandemic relief from student loans will come to an end next month. I don't know exactly what to do with this, because if it was their intent to just tip her the money, when it's that large, I mean, don't you pay out some of that? Don't you like?
Yeah, because you were clearly getting assistance from other people if you're dealing with 44 people.
Right. Yeah, you
were. A lot of other people are helping you make that happen.
Right. So I don't know whose side I'm on here.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a waiter or a waitress and you're getting tipped $2,200, you kind of have to tip out, right? But you don't tip out 80% of the tip.
Seems like a lot.
That's where it gets strange to me. Like, if you got $2,200, I guess I've never worked in that service industry. I don't know how that would work. If you're getting a $2,200 tip, you'd want to make sure you took care of the guys and girls in the kitchen and people washing dishes. Like, everybody should
get a bartender.
A little something. Yeah, yeah, everybody gets a little something to wet their beaks. If they're going to tip $4,400, that doesn't just go to the two servers, or does it? It seems like this could have been handled better in a lot of different ways. And then to say, hey, we're going to need that tip back. Like, if the whole point is that you want to take care of people in the service industry, you want to take care of people in the service industry, or you just want to take care of, like, one waitress? Right? Because if you're tip pooling, it's not like the money was going to the restaurant. The people who were working behind the scenes were all going to get some of it. I don't understand how they get 80% of it. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But yeah, she was let go after she told the customers she wasn't going to be able to keep the $2,200 that was intended for her. But see, I would think you give her the tip money, and then it's up to her to divvy out what she thinks is fair. It's not for the restaurant to say, give us that money and we'll figure it out. Or am I way off? Am I way out of bounds here?
Again, unless that's their policy.
Yeah.
And if that's their policy for $100.
Well, they're saying that they could have done a better job reminding the team how they would split tips. But she says she's worked there 3 years and this has never been a problem. Has it never been a problem because nobody's ever tipped?
I don't get a lot of tips.
I don't know what it is.
Not that strong a server.
I don't know what it is.
Except for this particular leader of this real estate team who's had his eye on me for quite some time.
Well, yeah, it seems. This is the thing, too. The two servers were being tipped out, but we're only hearing about one of them.
Were you trying to buy a server?
How much for one night?
Everybody, leave $100.
Brandt studied Spanish at the University of Arkansas, said she was devastated after having to fork over the large tip. She was going to use the money to pay off her student loans. You know, they say if you really want to learn Spanish,
go to Arkansas.
University of Arkansas is the place to do it. There's all these pictures of people hugging her, and apparently this is something that they do down there called the $100 Dinner Club. It was an idea that they came up with at the real estate agency during the pandemic. This guy says he knew so many servers were struggling because of all of the shutdowns that happened. So he hosted this real estate conference and then orchestrated the event there at Oven and Tap to pay it forward. He called the restaurant beforehand to confirm that the restaurant did not have a policy about tip sharing or pooling tips. See, that's the rub.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to make sure that that wasn't a thing.
How does that
and
work?
Was told, no, that's not a thing. Someone confirmed with him that there is not a tip pooling plan. So they decided, okay, this is where we're going. We're going to this place. And then when they got to the place, they were told, no, no, no.
I mean, everybody's got a job to do, but those freaks in the back cleaning my plates.
She was in tears. The server, Brent, was in tears after the announcement. But soon, she was asked to split the tip. And that's when this guy says, you know, well, that wasn't what we were told what was going to happen. He says here in a Facebook post, I'm so sad to hear the girl we tipped the other night at our $100 dinner club has been fired from her job. I don't fully understand why this would happen to what seems like such a sweet and kind-hearted woman. Nonetheless, I'm committed to showing her that there are great people in the world that will do good when they can. I've started a GoFundMe page to help her raise some money to cover her expenses. Yeah, because you're the one that got her fired, money bags.
She was quoted as saying, no bueno.
Dinero. El gano. El chero dinero. Por favor, no me gusta. So now there's a GoFundMe page that raised, as of Saturday, $8,700. And then Wise, the guy that had this idea to tip her the $100, shut down the GoFundMe. So now she's getting another $8,700. Oh, that's nice. This is just a lot here that's very confusing to me.
I need to put together a GoFundMe thing. Get a hold of some local businesses and see if I can get them to, if you'd like to round up after your purchase to, you know, help me out.
That rounding up stuff, I don't, and maybe I'm a bad person for admitting this, I don't trust that. How do I know that you're taking my rounded up change and doing something right with it.
Here's hoping you are.
Well, that's it. Like, if I want, I donate to the causes that I believe in, the charities that I believe in, and these are excellent charities. When you say, "Do I want to round up?" But I'm counting on a company that I don't. You know what I'm saying? Yesterday I had to go get some minestrone soup, and they wanted me to round up for like kids' cancer. And how do you say no to kids' cancer, right? and it's only a couple of, you know, it was like 44 cents. But how do you know that that money, I don't know. I'd like to know that that money is going where they say it's going.
You're on some sort of minestrone soup jag, huh?
Yeah, yeah. That's what the boy likes.
He's a gourmet.
Oh yeah, he's got some opinions.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
I can't imagine how fun that was for you to listen to.
Oh my God, what a blast. It must have been a good time.
Thanks for downloading it, subscribing, leaving reviews, and listening to Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. Also, our thanks goes out to Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
They are the sponsor of the podcast, and make sure you sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Twitter and Instagram.
Till we get a chance to do this for you again, hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Hey, stick a fork in me. I am done.